And our Savior, then let me welcome all of you for this important meeting, and also welcome National Treasury, the team here led by the DDG, the Demokajan, Meron and Windy, and the Defatwa, the Port of Fatwa. Well, thank you very much for your presence. I think one of the members we have our program say in terms of our second term parliament program today is supposed to be the last meeting before we go for constituency period, as parties have been engaging that we need much more time for constituency period for particularly the month of June and July. But I think the correct date will be indicated maybe at the February programming committee's upgrade. So I don't want to commit on that from when until when. But rather it's important to mention that it's our last committee meeting before we arrive for constituency period. Then the purpose of the meeting is to consider the draft report on the MIG rollover as well as receiving briefing by National Treasury on the appropriation bill. And we all know the applicable legislation and joint us that we should be going through this process today. So we will certainly allow for Treasury to take us through this process. So the bill has been passed by National Assembly without amendment, any amendments, and has now been referred to the for concurrence and consideration by the committee. In this meeting, the committee will consider and decide on the bill so that the court can be tabled on the plenary of the 26th. May, that is on Thursday. So we will consider this MIG rollover draft report and also the application field draft report. And then thank you very much, honorable members. Can I hear if there are any apologies so that we go straight into the presentation? Are there any apologies?
No apologies.
No, thanks. And then let's go then to the first item, the briefing by National Treasury on appropriation bill.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, yes, I'm with two colleagues. We came as a guiding group to the committee. We come from three different divisions in the National Treasury, and we will be able to take you through the bill and answer any questions if you may have. We've got Dave Brown from the budget office who's going to lead the presentation, and I'm also Randy Fano from Intergovernmental Relations, and I'm Dondo Mahajan from the Public Finance Division of the Treasury. So we'll be more than happy to take you through the presentation and carry with us, then we'll take questions. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members, honorable chair. I think I'll go through it quite briefly, but hopefully...
Sorry, ma'am, I apologize. Chairman, with your permission, I just want to check. I apologize. Perhaps I can get clarity. On behalf of the Democratic Alliance, we obviously won't be wanting to table an amendment to the appropriation, but then I want to check with you, with your permission. Should we do it after the presentation by National Treasury, or is it all right for us to submit now? Because I'm going to be discussing the draft report on the appropriation bill. So I just wanted to check with your permission, Chairman. Would it be likely to submit it now, particularly now, or after National Treasury's presentation?
Yeah, we'll go up the agenda. We'll allow National Treasury to table the...
And then we'll do it then.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that.
Yes.
So basically, I think everyone is aware the appropriation bill provides for the appropriation of funds from the National Revenue Fund, and the monies that are such appropriated in this way are then bound by the provisions of the TFMA and the appropriation bill itself, and in terms of the subnational conditional grants and so on, also guided by the provisions in the DORA. In terms of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, as has been pointed out, essentially we are on the third element there related to the parliament's must pass the appropriation with or without amendments within the first 4 months of the financial year. The reason for this is that Section 29 will guide what happens before an appropriation bill is passed, and in terms of that, it allows expenditure not in excess of 45% for the first 4 months of the financial year, and that is 45% of the previous year's appropriation. But after July, the monthly expenditure for each of those departments would be kept at 10% of the previous year's budget. So essentially passing of the bill into an act will allow the monthly transitional provisions to be exceeded if that is necessary for a service delivery of a particular department, and also to ensure that expenditure will be within the voting program purposes as tabled in the new bill. As I'm sure all members are aware, the bill is divided into votes and also main divisions or programs, and you have the allocation detail in terms of various economic classifications, current payments, transfers and subsidies, payments for capital assets and payments for financial assets, and the current payments are detailed in terms of compensation employees, goods and services and others. All the allocations that are marked with an asterisk are specifically and exclusively appropriated and may not be amended except for parliamentary approval. And in terms of this appropriation bill, all vote level compensation of employees appropriations are specifically and exclusively marked, and are all conditional grants, which are obviously also equally listed in the same way in the Division of Revenue Act. In terms of the spending contained within the bill, the expenditure ceiling in the two outer years of the NTEX period was reduced by 10 billion in 2017-18 and 15 billion in 18-19. However, baseline expenditures still rose at the rate of on average 7.5% over the NTEX period, and then we had the amount of the expenditure indicated for the 3 years of the NTEX period, for this year 1.15 trillion. Essentially then, budget amendments that were necessary for prioritization of departments were affected by reallocating the existing funding after having lowered the expenditure ceiling. Just to reconcile the contingency reserve amount, so in addition to included within the expenditure ceiling is also a contingency reserve amount, and obviously that is alongside the vote amount. And so all the budget amendments were made either through reprioritization of both budgets and then also by some allocation of the contingency reserve. So you can see that the biggest effect or biggest drawdown on the contingency reserve was for the public sector wage agreement. We find a portion of what is required in terms of that agreement. You can see the fee items indicated there, and provincial departments clearly getting the bulk of it given the level of employees at the province. And then also some provision for an increase in the number of social grant beneficiaries, and then also some other key priorities. Left at the time of the NTPS was a contingency reserve of 2.5 billion for 16-17 and 9 for 17-18. Given that those amounts were quite low, it was necessary to add to that reserve, which was done by cutting some of the baseline budget. So 3.5 billion and another billion was added for those 2 years, increasing then the contingency reserve that we now have available. And also then a contingency reserve provision was made for the outer year of 15 billion. Also included within the expenditure ceiling is some funding that has been provisionally assigned at two different function groups, broad areas, but not to a particular vote, and that is pending further work being done by these departments on the particular projects themselves. The key done on the contingency basis, obviously compensation of employees, and in order to manage this wage pool composition of government spending, two things in the main have been done. Number one is that for those departments that historically underspent on compensation of employees over a number of years, their baseline budgets have been reduced on the COE line. And then through this appropriation bill, a ceiling is put on the compensation of employees' budgets, and they are specifically and exclusively marked, so they may not be diverted for other purposes. The whole intention is that departments then closely monitor and control their COE budgets to ensure that they remain sustainable and that they don't crowd out other spending that's needed in terms of their service delivery. That's just a depiction of the consolidated budget. Obviously the grey area is the May budget, funded by the National Revenue Fund, and then essentially just to show that that's about 90%. And then obviously there are other revenue raised as well. In terms of the consolidated expenditure by economic classification, what we can see if we compare the new MTEF period to the period before is that the reduced expenditure ceiling basically means that the real growth rates decline for all of the economic classifications from an average of about 4% to about 0.8%, except goods and services has grown. And then also we see that all areas are growing in nominal terms except for capital assets. And the debt service costs remain the biggest growing area of the budget. If we look at different function views, so all departments are grouped in terms of the function of government. Essentially, if you look at the black dot and line, that's showing the relative to the 15-16 budget, what is the average growth over the MTEF for these different functions, and you can see that there's one function which has been cut in the new MTEF, essentially, and that's general public services. Otherwise, all the other functions are growing. And then also, relative to the baseline or the planning amounts that were already in place after the 2015 MTEF budget, the change to the new MTEF baseline is indicated in blue, which is basically the nominal amount in rand billions, and the green is what has been the provision for compensation of employees. So here you can see that the compensation of employees increase is bigger than what the increase to the baseline was, then obviously there had to be additional reprioritization also out of the existing baseline in order to fund that. Then basically I'm going to go through the big additions to the baseline, but remembering that these are not additions in the sense of extra money, they were basically which programs were prioritized, and obviously they were kind of five cuts elsewhere. So the total bill appropriation amounts to 721 billion and excludes the equitable share of debt service costs. And then we're going to go and look at per area, the largest program which received additional funding from reprioritization, but excluding the compensation of employees, because you've seen that information already. So National Treasury, which is represents about 4% of the total bill appropriation, there's an allocation of 12.8 billion over the MTEF period for the New Development Bank. 3.8 billion of that in this year in this appropriation. Moving on to higher education and training, which is about 7% of the appropriation bill. There's about 8 billion over the MTEC period for NSFAS to support students that want to continue their studies that are not funded, and 2 billion of that falls in this financial year. Also in this financial year, 2.5 billion for NSFAS for historic debt relief, and then also 300 million in this financial year and more going forward for the contribution from the fiscus towards the 0% increase in university fees. onto transport. Essentially, in terms of transport, there's funding for the strengthening of the national non-toll road network, 960 million in the second year of the NSIP, so it's not in this appropriation, and 1.3 billion for the outer year. Then 2.3 billion over the NSIP period, of which 200 million is in this financial year for Tango, for the Meloso Road upgrade. Then also in this year, 425 million and 1.4 billion over the NSIP for the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project. Then for trade and industry, in the outer year, there's a provision for special economic zone. For defense, there's 1 billion over the NSIP period, of which 467 million or 468 million is in this year for various aircraft equipment. For correctional services, there is funding for the filling of vacancies and operations of inmate case management committees, 421 million in this financial year. Police, there's a provision over index, but not in this, starting in the next financial year, for classification of the public order policing units, that's in total about 600 million over index. For cooperative government and traditional affairs, which is about 10% of total other appropriations, there's 4.5 billion over the NSIP period in the outer 2 years for the local government equitable share to provide for basic services to the poor. Then in terms of infrastructure investment in support of long-term growth and development, essentially there is 865 billion in public sector infrastructure spending over the next 3 years, of which 129 or 130 is included in this appropriation bill. And you can see the road allocations. If you look at the first total that's bolded, you'll see in 16-17 the 129 billion, and you'll see also including investment, say, so etc., giving you the 865 billion in total, and in terms of both appropriations, 419 billion in total over the NSIP period. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. for the presentation. Honourable members, I just want to draw your attention. You must remember, we engaged with the budget since the minister presented the budget document and the budget speech February, and all budget documentation was tabled. And then we went through the, subsequently we went into a briefing with the minister, planned committees of parliament, finance and appropriation committees of the two houses. We went through that joint discussion, and we also went through the division of revenue act through consulting provinces. Many of you went to your provinces for the briefing also. Now, currently, I think it is today that the NCOP may be concluding the budget vote date. So there has been extensive discussion on the budget, the department to bring down the budget, the department start debating, agreeing or disagreeing in the house on areas of priorities that the budget is allocating. So I think this now comes up as again to the committee what is contained on the budget and for what present. Now, in terms of the agenda, I will come to the issue that Honorable Sir raised. We have just received this appropriation. First, I want to hear, are there issues of other key members that want to raise based on the presentation? So, okay, Honorable Dylan. No, there's Honorable Sir.
I just want to, on the presentation from the first slide, I just want to expand it whereby you indicate that, you know, up to the end of July, the expenditure may not exceed 45% of the 2015-2016 financial year budget. Unless about to complete my maybe my understanding, I would want you to maybe
Hashid, what is that supposed to be? Thank you, Shabbat.
Okay.
Listen, thank you. I just wanted to comment or get some clarity on slide number 10 regarding that all areas do grow in nominal terms, with the exception of payments for capital assets. Perhaps you could just expand and just clarify on that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
But,
okay. Then I'll try to comment on this.
Thank you very much. Just in terms of the first question, seeing that we do not have the bill enacted, essentially you do not have a budget law that's enacted for the financial year that we're currently in, the financial year started on the 1st of April. So then there is provision within Section 29 of the PCMA that allows spending to continue, but that spending continues against the previous year's appropriation. In this case, the previous year, 15-16, and so what it means is that the expenditure of departments may not exceed 45% of the total of the previous year's appropriation bill in their first 4 months. So essentially, even when the departments give us the proposed drawings, we check to see that we do not breach the 45%. And then after July, should the bill still not be passed, the limitation becomes a little bit more restrictive to 10% for each of the following months. But clearly departments have a work program, and sometimes that spending would be lumpy across the months of the financial year. So being capped might be quite restrictive. So that's a difficult situation. And then in terms of the second question, essentially, yes, we're saying that the expenditure on capital infrastructure or capital assets is not growing and is decreasing. And I think maybe I was Wendy to come in a little bit more, but I think in general, as the budgets are tighter, departments are finding, you know, that they need to find money somewhere, and then there are some of these capital projects where there is some rescheduling.
Okay, before we come in, that you will notice in our briefing we did indicate that we targeted, because of the tax fiscal arrangement that we found ourselves in, we had to target underspending across our main departments. And huge underspending was what we have seen in infrastructure projects, and there are projects that we're clearly not going to spend. And we found a lot of money in water and also in yes. So basically, once you look at that, then we are forced to reduce something in order to make provision. And if you remember, we had to look for 16.8 billion for, and the strategy, one of the highest expenditure items is your zero fee challenges, higher education. So looking for money for that, we have to find money and prioritize. So reprioritizing came from underspending program in your infrastructure program. And that must be, you know, so that we, there's no argument that says we took money from infrastructure as a result, the economic growth impact is low because of that. We are targeting programs that clearly were at historical underspending, and so we have to cut money from that. And making provision for new spending items that we could not in any way find money for.
Thank you very much. Okay, Honorable Members, you will come. Honorable Sarablash. Honorable Isaac, you want to follow up, Isaac, Honorable Member, and Honorable GPS.
Mine is related to another slide. So
okay, yeah, no, let me give the second round member to raise. You're welcome, of course.
Thank you. During the presentation, I think it was here at slide 15, mention was made of aircraft, aircraft equipment and stuff like that. And I just want to know, you know, also maybe by 17, is any provision made to start the process to buy the so-called luxury jet? If that also is a certain amount included, yeah? I just need clarity on that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Chairman, yeah, great. Thanks for the second line. Chairman, slide 16. Corporate governance institutions of 37.1 of total bill appropriation. Now, 4.5 billion for 2016, and then of course 1.5 in 2017-18 and 3 billion 2018-19. The issue here, or my question is, these two, 2017-18 and 2018-19, I mean, some of the other common sense must prevail. This is of course a wish list. It's what we project, we hope, we desire, would like, would very much want. Correct me if I'm wrong. But there's no guarantees in these numbers, because obviously there's a huge amount of factors that would influence these numbers. So, with due respect, I must ask them, what is the motivation for these numbers? Or this? I don't want to be unjust and say, these thumbsuck numbers, if I can call it that. But you know, you could have just instead of saying 4 million, 3 million, you could have said very well 5 million. Who would have questioned you? You know, this is a wish list in the outer years. I'd just like to understand the motivation or the encouragement behind those particular numbers. Because the growth is coming down from 0.8, probably down to 0.4. I don't know next year this time, if we're sitting here, what the numbers would look like. Those numbers could change drastically. So if you could just maybe stand on that, maybe see what you
think.
Thanks, Senator. I also want to appeal maybe for more clarity. I see here on some of the slides, you are highlighting departments which are whereby indicating the percentage of allocation in terms of percentage for this current financial year, to be followed by the next financial year, and also 2018. I'm just checking that you're only indicating about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 departments, which starts from high education and training, transport, trade and industry, defense and military, correctional services, police, and corporate governance. I just want to know what is so special about these departments, because, you know, when I check the next slide, you are not anywhere indicating the percentages of allocation, although you are showing all the financial years. Maybe if there could be any special, you know, allocation to this department, just for the clarity. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Honorable Pierre.
Your question, thank you. I want to take this back with up to the meeting where we dealt with fiscal policy. What we have in front of us, as far as the division of revenue that we dealt with, is based on the fiscal policy and the fiscal outlook. And that is projection. If there's a hiccup tomorrow in Washington, United Kingdom, France, and in China at the same time, on the same day, that fiscal policy framework is going to change overnight. And that's why this the thing we call projection. I just want to put that on the table. Secondly, Chair, about the infrastructure, very crucial. The meeting we had on the MIG, every piece of land in this country is part of the municipality. So the MIG is close to that, what is happening in that geographical area. And that's why the monitoring of the spending coming to appropriation is so important, because that creates jobs. And that's one of the priorities that sit in the state of the nation address and the national budget when it was labeled. That's how these things link together. So what is important, the point I want to make here, is our quarterly engagements with departments is crucial. To see what did you say at the beginning of the year, how are you spending, but we have to measure what's happening at grassroots level. Otherwise, we're busy with a paper exercise. And that is where our program of our comedy is so important, especially in the third and the fourth term. We're starting to overlap. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pierre, and also the point that you're raising on the fluidity and the complex nature of the global environment.
how it impacts on our own domestic situation. So, yeah, earlier I was telling that I wanted to raise the issue with regard to servicing the debt. But I also know that it is based, of course, currently Treasury did say that it is confident that the current arrangements will enable it to service the debt without compromising the service delivered on the other hand. So I think that thin balance, or the delicate balance. So I think that's an important point. So I think I'll allow you to respond to that.
So thank you, Chair. Thank you, sir. I think that you are quite correct. I mean, our debt borrowing program is on track. We are planning to borrow 178 billion. We are on track. In fact, one of our bonds a few months ago was oversubscribed. So we are pretty doing that despite the challenges of the economy. So we are on track and don't have any challenges so far on them. I'll just take one answer one question on defense. It's definitely for equipment and normal maintenance. We have got no provision in this budget for any new acquisition of the jet that on our member is referred to. Thank you.
With regard to the question on the local government's equitable share, it's to some extent informed by available resources, but also informed in terms of a number of factors. And the first one would be, is when we calculate the local government equitable share and the growth that's required in the local government equitable share, we look at the population growth within the country. So every year the data is updated to take into account population growth, particularly because it impacts on the number of poor households and that require access to free basic services. So that's the one component that we look at. Another component that we look at that informs costs and how much is additional allocation given to the local government equitable share is the increases in the bulk services cost to provide free basic services. For example, some of the costs increase with inflation and some of the costs for providing free basic services such as electricity increased by 7.1% and the bulk charge needs towards increased by by 8.9%, which is much higher than inflation. So those factors are taken into account when additions are made to the local government equitable share. Can I also make a proposal, because I think some of the points that raised by the chair is also quite important. To some extent, when the appropriation bill gets passed, it needs to take into account already what has been approved before that. The fiscal framework has been approved as well as before now by the 2016 Division of Revenue Act. So if there's any changes proposed to any conditional grant or equitable share that impacts on problems with the local government, it needs to be raised as part of the Division of Revenue Bill hearings.
Okay.
I think there are a few more questions. I think perhaps also just to add to Wendy on the local government equitable share, to say that that's a top-up. There was already in the previous budget an estimate around what the cost would be. So this is just looking at the differential that we want to continually want to look at. So just in case you were worried that there's the full provision for that. And then also in terms of the infrastructure spending and so on. Just to, Donna did mention that we're not worried about our ability to raise the revenue that we need to borrow. But obviously it comes at a higher interest cost than it used to. And when, to the extent that you have underspending and you're borrowing to make funds available that are not being spent, I mean, it is actually a cost, a direct cost. So that was the rationale when we needed to find funding to, okay, we don't think we could find it anywhere else, but also to say, we are already incurring those debts and the costs to borrow that money, so we should actually be using it. And then the question regarding what's so special about those departments, and there's nothing particular, no particular criterion that's used there except the size of the allocation that was made. So there are many, many more allocations that were made, and if you would like to look at the introduction of the introductory chapter of the ENE, one would find per department many, many allocation adjustments. It's just otherwise we'd be keeping members here the whole day.
Thank you very much for this clarification. And I think now, honorable members, we can go to the next item on our agenda, which is a consideration of our club's report on the appropriation bill, what you consider here. And I'll just propose to the meeting that given this discussions and clarifications thereof, that the Select Committee of Appropriation has been considered the bill to be cut to each and classified by the Joint Taking Mechanism and Section 27 bill agrees with the bill without amendment.
Chairperson, my name is with all the others. I just want to ask, when are you going to allow Barak or Isaac, the Honourable Isaac, who has deal with the issue as you raised by the outset of the meeting?
Yeah, I mean, Isaac, I decided if you have any comments, you may allow me.
Thank you.
Procedurally, we have received the bill, we have discussed the bill, I have put it before the committee, for the committee to indicate that we have the bill. So, and then,
Chairperson, I hear what you say in terms of procedurally. I just want to point out to you at this point in time that item 4 is obviously what you're dealing with, which is on the agenda consideration of the draft report on the appropriation book. And we find it appropriate that at this point in time you allow us to submit our amendments in terms of the appropriation bill, which I would ask the Secretary to hand a copy to you. And then I would ask if, before you consider the bill as such, if you will be willing to look at the submission that we've made and afford us the opportunity to go through the submission with you before you adopt the appropriation. But it wouldn't make sense to do it after.
Honourable Isaac, I see the submission here is from the member from the Western Cape, Mr. Blatch. So, is the Western Cape position?
No.
Yeah, no, I say so. I just want to be on record. I think it's a matter of record.
What?
Use the Western Cape Province meeting.
Yeah.
Where did
you sign it,
sir? Signed by Honourable Chair of the Select Committee, Western Cape. Okay, Honourable Chair of
the Select Committee.
No, I just want to know. Don't be a key there.
Can you say
this is not a Western Cape? Let's put it on record. This is not a submission by the Western Cape whatsoever. This is clarified and put it on record in case you want to be a little more
diplomatic.
Let me go
straight. Which area do you propose amendments, Mr. Blatt?
Chairperson, at the back, there's a whole list of items. You will see that the end of the documentation that you have in front of you.
Yeah, just mention the members do not have a record. Just mention those areas.
Chairperson, it's all the areas, starting from the presidency up to the very last cap. Sorry, Chair, may I have a break?
Yes. Okay, all the moves. Honourable members, we received the GA's proposed amendment. Do we accept? I think I have to take you now through how we deal with this report. We received the document of the GA, which spells out and it proposes the drafting of the bill entirely and also areas that must be changed.
Correction, citizens, if I might come in.
Yes,
just correct your words. We're not proposing a redrafting of the bill. proposing amendments to the appropriation, and what we're saying very clearly in the documents in front of you, if you look at it, that it is budget neutral. We're not asking for anything to be added off the amounts budgeted for or taken off. We are proposing amendments to the same amounts, which I mean is budget neutral. It's very, very clear. So I just want to clarify. And that is what we're asking you, if you'd be willing, for the sake of transparency, to go through each item line by line, then you would understand exactly what we're saying.
Since you accept the amendment, proposed amendment, the GA proposing, here is the document furnished to me, it will say later to you, they say that they propose amendment to the BA.
Okay, just on a little procedure. Can we please receive the besides the documents, because I mean we can't agree or disagree if we don't have anything presented in front of us. That's the first thing. The second thing is, can we please receive the draft report, engage the draft report, and then deal with anything that is matters of quantitation within the draft report, so that we know what we're adopting. Because if you are moving for whether we adopt amendments or not, but amendments or not to what? Because we have not yet received the draft report. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Would the chairperson, if he's the right of the Democratic Alliance, to table a report that every vote was submitted, every political party had the opportunity to put his or that perception or that picture or that position on the table in the debate for the past couple of weeks, past 6 weeks. In the National Assembly, the NCP, the 8 Section 77, well, political parties will again get the opportunity when we vote on the bill to do their declarations. So just giving also the procedure, but as we sit here now, we don't have the document that was just tabled and have no insight into the contents of what there is. Thank you, Chair. Setting up to what Honorable Matara said.
Thanks, Honorable Members. Can we, you know what, I have read the proposed, what we say after the discussion on the GA. And then the objection from the GA that it is proposing amendment. So let me allow the GA briefly, what areas do you propose amendment for?
Honourable Chairperson, if you like, for the sake of transparency and to make it easier for the other colleagues that are sitting with us here from the committee, I could suggest one or two things. Is that you could ask the Secretary to run copies of this again so that you can distribute it to the other three members who do not have a copy, so that it will make it easier if we go to the proposed amendment that we wish to make. Alternatively, I can read them, but I don't know if the other committee members would be happy for me to do that.
Well, I think let me go back to the area. I directed the meeting. We received the report. I don't remember to have area for clarification questions on the piece. And I put it before the committee. Will the committee be comfortable to the piece? Does the committee approve the piece?
Yes.
And the committee approves the piece?
Yes.
Is there objection to the piece? Honorable DPR move for adoption.
No,
I'm coming to procedure. I'm going to give it. Honorable DPR move for adoption. Honorable Jimender, second. Thanks. Is there any other matter?
Honorable Chairperson, yes. To make it very clear and emphatically, I would
now, like what I would say now, that's is that the meeting looks at Democratic Alliance position regarding the peace, and this will be included in our report.
Allow me.
This is the report I'm giving now. This is the report that I'm giving. The Democratic Alliance proposed amendments to meeting check affront those areas, but then we'll have on our report the Democratic Alliance views on the report. So you reject the view, or you reserve your views regarding the view in this meeting.
So you didn't know my attention?
Yes.
Thank you. And then I'd just like to make it clear, yes, let me just give a minute and put on record that the Democratic Alliance has tabled an amendment and that Democratic Alliance objects very clearly and emphatically to the bill that's being proposed here right now. And let that form part of the report. And you want to add
Good.
Thanks, Chair. Also, just a matter of procedure, with a move for the adoption of the report and your seconded, but it must be seconded with the amendments to the draft report. Because before I did the draft report, not including the Democratic Alliance's objection to the report.
Thanks, the Secretary of the Church. Nothing. Okay, let's do it. It's very simple. The Select Committee on Appropriation has been considered the appropriation bill, referred to it and classified by Joint Treaty Mechanism in Section 77, because that it has agreed the bill without amendment, and moved the Democratic Alliance objected to the bill.
Note that the Democratic Alliance proposed amendments which were submitted and objected. That's correction. Let's get that properly.
The
Democratic Alliance proposed amendments which were tabled and objects to the vote. Can we just get that very clear on record, Arthur? Would you respect?
Well, the Democratic Alliance object, and that there's two sides. You know,
the Democratic Alliance
in the
tabled and
what we call minutes. Minutes captures everything.
Good. So let the
minutes captures everything. The report captures your order.
That just captures the amendments correctly. No argument.
Thank you. I'm actually with you.
Thank you. But I want to see the report show what has been minuted in terms of what I have said, sir.
Thank you very much. Honorable Diana, you are most welcome. We just agree with the bill. Thanks. Honorable Dylan, you don't object. You have not been objecting when you give it.
I also want to remind you
on record.
I also want this to be on record, from the Secretariat that, we do not have any amendment ourselves as the FF, but we are also objecting to the bill.
That's your argument. Nugget. Yeah, objecting is Nugget. Thanks. Thanks very much, members. The bill has been approved by the committee. We have Nugget objection by the DA and the EFF. Without amendment, yes, without amendment. Thanks. Let's go to the next item on the agenda. Thank you very much, the Treasury, for the briefing on the deal. Now we'll go to the committee report, MIG rollovers, which is especially needed to members, and our direct members who pay by page discussion on the report. Thank you very much for these briefings, and most welcome. Let's allow Treasury for us. If you want to get some tea, get a cup of tea. Thanks.
I think it's a little bit more.
It's much easier now. I'm only facing this direction. Colonel and then the team is not here. Honorable members, now we consider it a draft report of the committee on rollover of the MIG infrastructure grant fund for the 2010-15 financial year. We have had this elaborate briefing by Treasury. Now, we have received the report first. Let me invite members in if there's any such area that they wanted to reformulation or comment on the report. I welcome that one first and then we can. You can see the first page is introduction and background, chapters. And second page is national treasury presentation, clarifies the procedure for applying. And then page 4 is on monitoring expenditure on rollovers, monitoring infrastructure rollovers, and the table there. 2010-15, you recall this was corrected, we were saying 2011-2016, and then they said 2010-2015, because of the figures not being, what we say, audited, because of the figures of 2016 not yet being audited. Then the phase 6 is challenges and remedial measures, observations, and then phase 8, you had it over the weekend, honorable members. So, more than reading the newspapers, you may have had to consider this report. Thank you very much, Estelle, for sending the report early. So, honorable members can have, we then have an indication that you agree with the report.
I also want to thank the staff for the quality of the report and the capturing of the data. I think when we come back in August, the audited statements will be available in September. That we then have a meeting again in September on that for the latest performance. But I move the adoption.
Thank you very much. It is seconded. We are here, our members. No, they know. Honorable members said they considered it. Honorable Gaila, thank you very much. Then can you consider the 3 sets of minutes? The first one is that May. Honorable members were present here, except those that are indicated on the agenda with apologies.
You
are not present in that meeting.
I feel like it's like the other policy.
Okay, yes. All right. Thanks very much. On the 10th May, Honorable Dilek is still upset. So, the strike is right, but we have to or not.
I just need some clarity. I just want to know whether the honorable member also sees some excuse or whatever to get his salary.
Can I have an indication, honorable Gaila? Honorable
70 absent was one member, Apology, Honorable Gail absent, Honorable Gillian. 17 May. Honorable Carl Moos, seconded. Honorable Sarblash. And this was the absence of Minya. Honorable Whip of the committee, do you want to make any indications that you, anything that you want to indicate to the committee?
Chair, just to indicate that the breakup is tomorrow, the finance committee will meet tomorrow at 2. All the main committees instead are meeting tomorrow at 2 because of the penalty in the morning. When we come back, there will be... Okay, we'll come back in August. I think the programs of the two committees have been should be finalized by now. There is no substantial reason, just the study tour that we have to include in the first program. We are more than likely going to be given the study tour because it impacts on legislation, the 20th legislation that the finance committee is dealing with. But I think after tomorrow's finance committee meeting, I'll give the full detail of the two committee program with the date.
Okay. Thank you.
Secondly, I just wanted to ask the theme of the recording. What if it is a plenary tomorrow morning and the other way around, out of interest?
Can I get out of this one? This is an appropriations committee meeting. The issues of the program and why and how are dealt with first in the committee and then ratified in the programming committee. Honorable Finance does have a response. If possible, as that has. I can only speak here on authority on appropriations and stipends and things.
That's good off the
record.
You're getting
emotional about it.
Emotional.
Yeah, no. Yeah, honorable member. I think maybe honorable Mutara, will still share with us some information. Yes, we have to read that. But tomorrow is.
Chairman, I'm fine. The honorable members will just board the finance meeting at 2 o'clock as we take off on time. We are submitting our application for the study tour within today and tomorrow. It might still be approved or not approved. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's a very important exercise. My request to honorable members that you get your passports ready. And I don't know, international relations will communicate to us. This committee session was now reset. We are leaving Friday. We see each other only in August again. These members are scattered over the country. To get those passports in a package back in Cape Town, it must be purchased by international relations. So my mind tells me before you leave on Friday, hand it in. As Mr. Mutale and Mr. Ali said, it's a gift, which day. Between today and Thursday afternoon, we have to clarify that. But then the members get their passports ready to have I can't say nothing more because decisions must not be taken.
Mm-hmm. diplomatic passport or ordinary passport?
No, official passport.
Official passport.
Diplomatic passport.
Official passport,
yeah.
Honorable Mr. Lane, I think
he doesn't even know
Yes.
Honorable members, please. I don't know. Okay. Thank you very much for that indication. Honorable member, can I just make a note that I want to thank honorable members very much for your continued support and how you carry yourself, ensuring that you remain focused at this committee in our very important task. Of course, we've got to a very important task at our appropriation committee to monitor expenditure and to ensure that a policy objective that are spelled out in various government departments are achieved. And that without fail, our committee allows us for vigorous oversight group and for us to continue to increase our capacity, strengthen our coordination, and to increasingly step up our robust engagement with the department through the kind of support that we get from Madam Treasury. That will help us to steer the service delivery at greater heights. So I'm much more appreciative of the support of the honorable members and their consistency most of the time in terms of ensuring that the subject that we give is really utmost attention. It is a crucial task before us. We should ensure that we increase the value of our house through the role that the committee must take place. So we hear our part, the greater government efficiency will improve. Thank you very much. Mr. Again now, and the impression should not be given that everybody has voted. That's the discretion of the area. Yeah, no. Thank you. Everything is again, but...